This is a CKTZ News update. It's August 1994, and Queen Elizabeth has just concluded opening the Commonwealth Games in Victoria, BC. A few Cortes Islanders were hired to help attend to some very prominent visitors due to arrive on nearby, privately owned Twin Island, visible from the south end of Cortes. Islanders were abuzz when they learned that the guests were none other than Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II and her husband, Prince Philip. George Cirque, a professional Cortes Island naturalist, hatched an elaborate plan. All he needed to do was convince his wife, Kim Polly, a classically trained singer, to play a central role. Polly describes what brought the royal couple to Twin Island.
She was there visiting Prince Philip, so her husband's cousin, as far as if I've got this right, and that was the Margrave, Max von Baden, and his wife Valerie, and their children. They owned Twin Island at that time.
Now, what possessed you and your husband, George, to basically go out to that small, tiny island off of Twin, just near actually where the retreat center, Hollyhock, is located, and for you to sing God Save the Queen?
It was George's idea, of course. He had to talk me into it, I admit. The whole idea made me quite nervous, actually, singing to the Queen and thinking, how is she going to hear me over on Twin Island from Long Tom, which is approximately, George was telling me today, a nautical mile. But George had figured out that he thought if the weather was just right and she was situated in, and George knows the lodge and the arrangement of rooms there, he figured she would be staying in the largest room, which was the end of the lodge, closest actually, putting it closest to Long Tom of all the rooms there. And he figured she, being a nature lover, fond of the outdoors, would have her window open. It was a brainwave on George's part that somehow my voice would carry over to her and that we would do this very early in the morning because she's an early riser. And George came up with the plan and eventually got me to agree. And so we borrowed the Harlequin from Hollyhock, and 12 of us rode out there to Long Tom to do this.
Wow. And did you ever get any feedback? Did Her Majesty actually hear you?
Yeah, that was actually a neat thing because some islanders were working there, and most prominently Ginny Ellingson, who was waiting on the Queen. So she did. We got word back that she heard from the Queen, and the Queen said that she was touched. The Queen had heard me sing, and she was touched.
And how did that make you feel?
Oh, I got the goosebumps. Something that the Queen said that came back to me about her response to my singing. It was wonderful, yeah, to hear that. The fact that she could hear me, that was really great. That was the most important thing.
Has that stayed with you, Kim, like in terms of your cherished memory?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also because a lot of people here on the island remember it well, too. A lot of people were sitting on the shore, I think out front Martha's, and they were listening from there as well. And there was our whole crew, a number of friends, but then a few people that were just, simply guests at Hollyhock. And so it became a bit of part of the folklore of Hollyhock, I think, as well, singing to the Queen. Yeah, it is a great memory. And the fact that Bill Weaver was on our crew and had himself set up with his video, so he videoed the whole event, and it was a newsworthy story because actually it was quite secretive that she was there on Twin Island. It was a newsworthy story for that reason as well, as that it was a cool event. So Bill filmed it, and then he managed to get that off of Cortes that morning by seaplane. It went out of the Campbell River Airport, his video, by plane. It was picked up by CBC at the airport in Vancouver, and it ran on the national news that night.
Oh my goodness, Kim, that is quite a claim to fame for you.
It was exciting, yeah. Oh. We didn't really expect that part of it to happen at all at the outset, but that's what did happen, and it was pretty neat.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because I have a recollection of being at Hollyhock at that time, and somehow people got which faces Twin Island, and there's a small dock off there. Yep. And somehow we got word of the timing of when the Queen's float plane was going to be landing. And a whole bunch of us, I believe, watched. I've got a vague memory of this and got our binoculars out. And we're trying so hard to see Her Majesty and what is she wearing and all this stuff. But I wonder how we actually got word of the timing around that. I don't know. It was a rumor, but it indeed took place.
Yeah, there was. That's the thing. Most Canadians didn't know where the Queen was. But all of Cortez seemed to know. And there was quite a scuttle about when she was going to arrive, and I think also when she was leaving. Because do you remember the color of the dress she was wearing?
I'm afraid I don't, Kim, but I'm imagining an actual pale green, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, maybe she arrived in pale green, but according to George, she departed in pale yellow, and because he was on the beach in front of Martha's, I believe, with the Hollyhock telescope watching her departure, which is kind of funny because in a telescope it turns the image upside down. So George claims that he saw the Queen, but he saw her upside down in pale yellow.
Oh, that's fantastic. Kim, Polly, thank you so much for taking the time. This is really a magical and treasured memory.
I wanted to just thank you, too, for your interest. And I wanted to add one more thing. Singing God Save the Queen, of course, was the natural thing to sing. And then growing up in grade school, we sang that every morning. We stood up next to our desks and sang it along with O Canada. So that was easy. But we thought, okay, well, that pays respect to her and gets her attention. And then I added on when's summertime. So those are sang the two songs for her, of course, a cappella. And I just wanted you to know those details as well.
Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.